please stand for the reading of God's holy word. As we continue to preach, Jesus reveals God's true intent behind the law, part 14, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 249, since January the 20th, 2017, day 616, since January the 1st, 2016, and we roll on, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. So, my beloved, what is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel is embodied in these words, found in the Word of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul, even though he does not talk about his education, he counts it all but dung. I want you to know that God used educated people to write pivotal books in the Bible. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, an educated man. Luke wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And in this same educated fashion, the book of Acts, using such terminology as O Theophilus and so forth. Paul here does a similar thing and moves into, even though he is presenting the gospel using somewhat highbrow language, educated language, as he was making the case. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, this is necessary. It's okay. It's okay. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all. Paul was making the case. Paul was breaking it down like an educated lawyer. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received myself, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. For that is the gospel for you. Very plainly and eloquently presented. And I'm adding to that from the Word of God something else Paul said, that which he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where I'm at by the grace of God. And I pray and hope many other Christians are there and will get there. Because a whole lot of stuff that's going on in the world today, there's nothing we can do about it now. We all, as Christians, need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Can somebody say amen? Dr. Walter A. Elwell, editor of the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, said gospel is a word derived from the Anglo-Saxon God spell, denoting glad tidings or good news. Of all of the passages cited, those of Isaiah provide the most important background for the gospel in the New Testament. according to Isaiah's gospel, if you will. It is God alone who saves, and there is no explanation for his saving action except in his own nature, his own love, his own mercy, his own grace. Has nothing to do with us trying to have a part in our salvation. Israel's deliverance is undeserved. She is no more worthy of the divine love now than when she went into captivity. In whatever measure she has paid the just due for her past sins, she remains a sinful people. It is only by God's grace that she is saved, and it is only by God's grace we are saved. Nothing in our hand we bring. Amen, somebody. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, we're going back to this deep well that Jesus uttered. Jesus said, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Sounds reasonable. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words that you uttered. We know that you told us this for our own good, even though some of us can't see it. Have mercy and grace upon such a wretched and undone church and society, and we're at fault, mostly. Forgive us of our sins of divorcing and remarrying, doing it again and again, and so the world has no point of reference based upon your holy word about this matter, because the church, sadly, is in the same boat by our own sin and foolishness. So, Lord, for the good of the church and the society in which we live, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins and help us to repent and to do whatever we need to do to make things right in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Slick said, "In the years of marriage counseling, I've seen marriages be healed when adultery had been committed. But both parties must work hard at it." And I would add, God would have to intervene. And God would have to truly watch between the two, the husband and the wife. But in most cases, the husband. From Jesus' explanation of God's true intent behind the law of divorce, we have learned that though divorce is permitted in the case of adultery, fornication, infidelity, whatever you want to call it, God desires for those who are his born-again ones, his children, to pursue reconciliation if they can. However, if it's just going to go on and forgiveness is not going to be given, and the offended party is going to walk around like a devilish tyrant, constantly beating up on the person because of their adultery, then it's better for them to separate. Because grace would have to be given in a situation like that. But it is a volatile situation if it is not dealt with properly. And oftentimes the offender does not tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that is going to be a problem. And if the offender is not coming clean, if the offender is not coming clean up front, immediately with everything, and repents, and is out of the picture, and does not play games about, well, she's still going to work in the office, and I'm going to work in the office. No, no. Whatever that office is, y'all can't do that anymore. Well, she, every now and then when she has a problem and so forth, we're going to still be friends. No, you can't be friends. No. No, you can't be friends, buddy. No friends. No working in the office together. In fact, you should not see each other for the rest of your natural born lives. How about that? In fact, somebody ought to move. Because if you don't move on your own, y'all don't hear me. If you don't move on your own, my beloved, God will move you. And he might move you to heaven if you're born again, if you keep on trying to play games. Y'all shouldn't even see each other at the light for the rest of your life. Said, preacher, and it's certainly not that bad, but we had something going on. No, you had nothing going on but wickedness and evil and adultery that almost destroyed your life. You need to thank God he got your behind out of it. And yes, God specializes in getting his children out of messes. Can somebody say amen in here besides these lights? God specializes in getting folk, his children, out of messes. He'll give you space to repent. He will help you get out of it. He will open the door. See ye the door? Walk out of it. See the light? Walk in it. Get out of it. Get away from it. Stop it before the woman's husband catches your behind and blows your brains out, and then we got a scandal. Oh, but some of us, we don't take God's warnings. We think we're slick. We can keep on going on into it and slipping around and creeping and in the black and dark night. And one day you're going to creep and kapaya! Somebody's dead in the bed. I said somebody's dead in the bed. I said, maybe somebody's dead in the bed. Happens all the time, my beloved. Because jealousy is the rage of a man. And whatever it is to a man is 10 times worse to the woman. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because if the woman could keep on killing you, she'll keep on doing it. She preached, you ought not to say that. I'm telling you the truth. Reminder of the poor husband got caught in a situation. And the woman caught him and she started stabbing the woman. Stopped stabbing the woman. And she kept on stabbing. The husband looked up and said, Honey, the woman has been dead 10 minutes. Stop it. She pulled back with blood all over her face, said, I want to make sure she's good and dead. And you're next. Jealousy is the rage of a man. Keep on messing with that man's wife, boy. They're going to have you hung up by your toes with blood dripping out of your neck like a pig. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You better take advantage of God's space to repent. God is trying to help you get out of that mess and spare your life and spare that family. So what does that reconciliation thing look like? I'll share that with you tomorrow in more detail. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for our time together today. Lord, I have been keeping the people too long. And I thank you for leading me to give them a break today. But we will continue this message as a part two message on tomorrow, if you should tarry your coming and we live. And we pray that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word would help people to forgive others as you have forgiven them, to repent of their sins, and to turn away from their evil ways. Help every Christian to take advantage of the space that you give us to repent, the space that you give us to judge ourselves, that we would not be judged. Lord, we don't understand this kind of grace, but we thank you for it. And we pray that you'll help us to take advantage of it for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the benefit of people all around us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, before I leave you, if you are with us today in this noontime hour in Central Time, the 1 o'clock hour, Eastern Seaboard Time, the 10 o'clock hour on the Pacific Coast, and pray for our friends in wine country, for their being hit hard. And Lord, we pray for the families impacted by the tragedy there. Comfort them as only you can. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, do you know Jesus Christ? If you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's Ten Commandments, some of those laws at least. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a terrible place. It's a place without God. It is a place of complete darkness, a darkness that you can feel, a feeling in many cases of constantly falling and never landing, fire and torment, grinding of teeth, forever and ever. You don't want to go there. And so I have some good news for you. We talked about it earlier. Glad tidings. Good news. And that is, Jesus Christ died as the Lamb of God for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He took away your sins. And all you have to do, my beloved, is believe on him. Trust in him. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to jump and run around the church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. All you have to do right now is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That's it. I know that sounds simple, and I know that sounds easy, because it is. Why would God make it difficult for wicked evil, ignorant people like we are. He made it easy for us. It was not easy for him. It was not easy for Jesus Christ. He made it easy for us, though. And all we have to do is look up to the cross and believe on Christ. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him," Jesus, "should not perish," where? In hell, "but have everlasting life with God in heaven." All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, are you willing to pray with me right now, right where you are, eating your lunch in your car, on the treadmill, getting a walk in, walking around Central Park, fixing your meal outside in Uganda, down in Haiti, Jamaica Land, where my wife is from? Just pause, bow your head, repeat after me. You don't have to tell anybody around you what you're doing. Pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I realize and I acknowledge that I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, your laws. I have sinned against you. I have trespassed. I've committed transgressions. And just like a criminal deserves to go to jail, I deserve to go to hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine, that he was buried and rose again on the third day by your might and power, and he sits at your right hand today. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my old ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. And read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails on our many sites and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's stand.